Welcome to the Last Sunday Podcast, where we discuss last Sunday's sermon at Majestic View Church in beautiful Kiowa, Colorado. Senior Pastor John Smith talks with Kyle Peters to answer questions, provide clarity, and take a deeper dive on some points from the sermon. This is your chance to be a fly on the wall for personal discipleship.
Good afternoon, Kyle.
Good afternoon.
It's good to be back.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed it is.
Looking forward to our time together and hoping that we both experience renewal today.
I think we all could use it, but I know I could. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be together and to ask you for your blessing. Because, Lord, we know we're both convicted that this is something you wanted us to do. And so we know you'll bless that, and we just thank you for that. And Lord, so I ask you for clarity. I ask that you would guide us to say things that would be challenging to others, interesting to others, a blessing to others, and renewing to others. So Lord, thank you for all your goodness to us. We love you much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So Kyle, we're going to ask the question today, what is my role in others being renewed? And the title of our message this week was How That a Man Needs Renewal. And so before we're done, we want to talk about what my role is in your renewal, what your role is in my renewal.
I'd be kind of curious, too, to also touch on our own roles in renewing ourselves, too.
Sounds good.
I think that all ties together.
Well, I think that's where we're going.
Yeah, absolutely. As we do get started, you said something in the opening prayer there that I agree. I think we both feel like what we're doing here is important. And I do want to acknowledge that we just passed 40 episodes.
Wow.
Which is pretty awesome. And I have heard in the podcasting world, sphere, whatever, things don't really start happening until you're in that 50 to 100 bracket.
Okay.
That the numbers start picking up and whatnot. And our numbers have never been, Joe Rogan's not looking over his shoulder for us. All right. Let's go.
I wasn't exactly expecting that.
No. His empire is not in jeopardy from our podcast. You know, we've been holding steady, and I think that's good. And I think, of course, I'd love to see the word get out more, because I think we have a good service here in our conversations. And I've talked to a few folks here and there that that get some good value out of it.
Well, that's so encouraging to hear. And you know, I've always, of course, I'm a country preacher and serve in a small town, even though our church is fairly large.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never, even though I want the seats to be full when we preach on Sunday, you know, it is about one person at a time. And so if I can impact, if we can impact one person, that it really challenges them in their walk with the Lord, and God uses it for them to make a big change that He wants to make in them, then, man, that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that is actually the philosophy that Jesus had. Jesus could have packed a stadium with people.
Mm-hmm.
But what did He do? He spent His time with 12 men, and in particular, 3 of the 12. Now, He had, you know, His layers of influence, but it was the 3, and then it was, those 3 were a part of the 12, and then there was even a bigger group beyond that. But boy, He had, the focus of His time was on those 3, and 2 of those were Peter, James, and John. And the impact that those 3 men had in the movement that launched Christianity and the church into the world set the world on fire. And So praise God for that. And just if Jesus was focused on the few, then that's where I want to be too. And as that grows and impacts more, praise God.
That compounding effect. If 12 men go out and make a difference in the lives of 12 others, and then those 12 go out, and you know, just the exponential growth that can happen there.
Multiplication is much better than addition.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Yeah.
That's the plan.
But at the same time, I think we get caught up, and we talked about this a little last week too, of having followers, and somebody's got a million followers on whatever social media platform they want to be on. And are they actually making an impact on any of those people in a positive way?
Or in one of those platforms, they call them friends.
Yeah.
Are they really friends? Is it the kind of friend that's going to be there for you when your world's on fire, you know?
I think I'd rather be called a shallow friend than a shallow follower. I'm not sure either of them is any good, but I think just if we can make that small impact and hopefully part of that impact is encouraging others to have a positive impact on the people that they're around, the few people they're around.
Oh, that's the foundational principle of love.
Mm-hmm.
Love is not selfish. Love expands. It doesn't contract. It doesn't suffocate. It doesn't isolate. Love gives, and the whole nature of love is for me to give to you and just and help you that you might give to others. So that's a huge thing.
When I had occasion last week, we'll see where this week takes me, but I had occasion last week to use that exact message to others after some tumultuous times, that it doesn't really, that should be our main focus, and having the positive impact on the people around us that we can have an impact on, and do good things in our own sphere, and it doesn't, there's so many people out there, there's so many different people, and I was amazed when I got done with that I had the whole gamut of folks, of types of folks, come up and say thank you for that. And I will take zero credit for it because I had no idea what I was going to... I had a very rough idea what I was going to say going into that situation, but very rough. And honestly, I could not repeat it. I could not repeat that speech, that 5 minutes of my life, if I tried. And it seemed to have a positive influence on some folks, and hopefully, under the circumstances, not always. You know, this was a specific situation that hopefully settled down some animosity.
That's cool. You know, I want to take this one step farther, and then we'll get into
the
actual message. But
yeah,
you know, when the world often criticizes Christianity for proselytizing,
mm-hmm.
and if what we're doing is trying to convert people to build our kingdom, then that's a fleshly approach to things. But if what I'm doing is trying to love people so that they can know the love of God, so they can give the love of God, that's not about me. It's not about my kingdom. It is about the work of God and people as they are actually touched with something that is far beyond us, far greater than us, and that is the amazing love of God. So, I understand why the world despises the whole concept of proselytizing,
mm-hmm.
because it has the idea that I am trying to get from you or get you to be what I want you to be.
Right.
And we've got to be very clear Do I want folks to come to Majestic View Church? Absolutely. We want them to, but when they come here, we want them to know the love of God. We want them to become another conduit that God blesses with His love, and then they can be a greater impact on their community and their family and their friends and even their enemies, you know? So that's what God's love does. And it's definitely not like, come join our private club so that we're bigger and stronger and we have more money kind of thing. That's the world, and that's wrong.
Yeah, I think part of my issue there was realizing that I needed it. I'm not totally throwing myself under the bus, but making sure that I was not trying to say something to them for my own gain.
There you go. Well, that's important.
And I think that that was a distinct possibility that that was happening. Mm-hmm. And having to have a realization of, this is not about me, it's not even, and it's not about my wants. Nor is it about their wants. It's about God's wants and His needs. And I can intellectually know those things, but I can't make those judgments. And so I had to step back my own will, step back a little bit, and try to be the example.
And you know, what you just said is really a very good segue into our message, our lesson today, or our discussion today. And that is this: when I become selfish and self-focused, and oh my goodness, that is my default mode. Nobody has to tell me to take care of me, okay?
Yep.
I am inclined to defend myself. I'm inclined to focus on what I want or what I think I need. And when I do that, I start shriveling up as a person and become selfish and ugly. But when I let the Lord renew me with His love and with who He is, then I become a conduit where I'm actually able to pour into other people. Now, I do not have unlimited resources in and of myself, but through the grace of God and through the love of God that He puts into my life, I do have access to His unlimited resources. And that's why I keep using the word conduit, because God wants me, am I blessed when I know God's love and I experience it?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But I am super blessed when I see God use that to touch you, to help you with, to make your marriage better, to help you learn how to love your kids and watch them grow and have that sparkle in their eye because their daddy loves them. And just on and on and on we go with that. That is the multiplication process of the love of God as it goes through us to others. And it's not about me and it's not about you. It's about experiencing something that is absolutely beyond this world.
Well, and I think we've touched on this many, many times over the last year or so now of the dying. The old us dying and being reborn and being a new person, and that kind of continually happening. I'm trying to think of a good biological kind of, you know, it's just like the shedding of old skin kind of thing, and it continually happens where you hopefully you're just getting better and better every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of what I see with renewal, is being renewed daily and hopefully every day casting off a little bit of the old dead me.
Right. Absolutely. You know, I remember when I was a much younger man, very strong sense of right and wrong, and a crusader, you know, of right and wrong, and morally being, you know, astute and strong. And I'm not saying that's wrong, because we do need to be morally strong, but very often it was not tempered with love. Mm-hmm. And that was not my MO. I was not known as the most loving person in the world. And I still am not known as being the most loving person in the world. But as I get older and I understand, you know, there's still moral absolute, because that's God says there is, not because I do. But oh my, if we start trying to take what we think is righteous and right and cram it down other people's throats, then they don't want that. I don't want anybody trying to force something down my throat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want a doctor forcing something down my throat if it's to save my life. I don't particularly want it. I might receive it.
You might need
it,
but yeah.
But no, I want something that's done that's born out of the fruit of love. And so as I've gotten older, it's tempered a little bit. And the other day I was around a young man that was, you know, strong and fiery, and I'm just going, you know what? There I was. Mm-hmm. Bro, let me put my arm around you and just encourage you here a little bit.
Yep.
And of course, you know, you got to be ready to receive it. So.
That's a product of aging, I think, for everyone, where we become, we grow internally, we grow spiritually, we grow as a person, and start seeing the nuance of life.
There you go.
You know, we can watch the news and see all the political nonsense of our day, and the longer time goes on for me, the more it becomes political nonsense, and the more I don't care for either side of any debate politically. But boy, I sure used to.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was a lot more black and white. Now I see that, well, heck, now honestly, I just feel like it's a lot more black. But, but you know, that there's depth to the world. There's depth to our lives, and we need to see that. One of the things that you talked about yesterday, this last Sunday, we actually did get to record just the next day here, which is awesome, was dealing with despair. And I feel like I bring that up because I feel like it's a commonality these days. There's a lot of feelings of despair, and it's all worldly. We feel despair over the state of politics in Washington, or here locally, or dealing with financial issues or what have you. And I thought in times of despair, we have the treasure of the light of Jesus, and just focusing on the possibilities that outside of this world was important there. I'm losing my thought process a little bit.
Well, let me read this verse of scripture. Paul wrote, this is our key verse in 2 Corinthians 4:7-18. It said, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day."
There we go.
And with that, you know, the first point that Paul made in verses 6 and 7 there in 2 Corinthians 4 was that I need to know what I have and who I am in Christ. And I have this treasure. So when there is despair, despair is often compared to darkness, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if I have the light of the Lord Jesus, the light of His understanding, the light of His perspective, the light of eternal values, then all of a sudden this thing that I'm dealing with that is so dark and so deep in despair, it's not the same, because it gives me His perspective, which is eternal. And, you know, and there's a verse of Scripture says that you know, our affliction is but for a moment,
mm-hmm.
but our hope is eternal. And listen, my life on the spectrum of eternity is a speck that it would take the most powerful microscope in the world to see. That my life is that in the perspective of eternity. And so when I have the light of Jesus, then my perspective changes. It's not about the moment, even in my life. It is about the fact, okay, this is tough. But because I have the light of the Lord, I know that I can get through this.
Well, so a couple things come to mind there. We've talked about loss of loved ones and whatnot, before of death. And I feel that this speaks to that in a large way, where people fear death, particularly if they think that that's the end.
That's exactly right.
And many times I've brought up Cecil, and boy, I never saw somebody so happy to be at the end of his life on this earth.
Yeah.
Because he didn't think that it was the end. He knew the next step was awesome and that he wouldn't worry about anything.
Right.
And the only sorrow that maybe he could muster up was feeling bad for the rest of us that we were still stuck here for a while.
Well, you know, I'm sure he felt some pain over things that he wishes he could have helped change or been a part of change in maybe some of his family members' lives.
Yeah.
In his community, mm-hmm. in his world. But Cecil was a man who had everything that he valued, besides his family, because he valued the family he left behind.
Yeah.
But everything that he valued was in heaven. He valued who he was in Christ Jesus, and he loved his Lord. His wife had gone on before him.
Yep.
And so his mom and dad, and the love that he had for them, and we could just go on and on, but you hear where I'm going with that.
Yeah.
His treasure that he was reaching for was in heaven. And it was not an earthly treasure. It wasn't silver and gold.
Right.
It was an eternity where he's not dealing with sin. It's an eternity where he's not dealing with the physical limitation of his body and the age, what age had done to his body. You know, Cecil was an outstanding athlete. In fact, he turned down an invitation to play pro baseball because of priorities in his life. He was a very, very good athlete. I played with him when he was in his 60s and 70s, and he was better than a lot of guys ever will be.
Wow.
When he was that old, okay?
Wow.
And But all of that was decaying, and
right.
It's not going to decay in heaven. Nothing's going to decay in heaven. In fact, I don't know what it looks like exactly, but we're not going to have the physical limitations in heaven that are so plaguing to us today. And so his hope was in the future, and that's part of that light that he had, this treasure that he had in Christ Jesus. The next thing I talked about in this, and I'm going to just read through these,
mm-hmm.
we have not just the light, but we have purpose,
mm-hmm.
purpose that is eternal. We have assurance of God's presence and of what he's doing. We have the anticipation of great reward. You know, if something's happening to me today and I'm being renewed in Christ, Paul said, I don't lose heart. My outward man is perishing. My body is decaying. It's taking the lumps of life and it's showing, okay?
Right.
He said, the inward man is being renewed day by day. I'm getting stronger inwardly, even as I get weaker physically. And if you're 30 years old and you think you're invincible as a young man, okay, I understand. I was there one day.
Yep.
But the fact is, if you continue, you're not invincible even today. All it takes is one head-on car crash to fix that problem.
Yep.
But if you live to be as old as I am, then you're going to realize your body is going to deteriorate. Okay. Paul said, my body's deteriorating.
Well, it's not the important thing,
but my spirit is growing stronger every day because
right.
I'm understanding God more. I'm understanding life more because my perspective is his. And then he said, I know that my investment is secure. I talked to a man yesterday that talked about the despair in his life one time. He lost his entire retirement savings that he had built up for 30 years in one day. Mm. But let me tell you what, my investment in heaven is safe and secure, not because of me and not because of my works, because it's all invested in Jesus. And man, that's strong. So does that help me to have hope? Yeah, in the darkest hour. And the last one we've already mentioned was we have perspective. We have the reward of perspective. If my perspective is all wrapped around what just happened to me, which we're all tempted to that, when we mm-hmm. have something that's dark and hard and that grieves us or hurts us, it's yep. hard for us not to lose perspective and it be all about the pain of the moment.
Yeah, well, my father likes to joke around a lot, and one of his classic responses was, you come and you say, my hand hurts. And you say, okay, well, let me stomp on your foot real quick and you'll forget about your hand.
There you go.
Because it's ridiculous, and it's so ridiculous, I've used it too, because why wouldn't I? But there's a lot of truth to that. You know, like that pain, that thing you feel in that moment becomes the center of your universe, your focus. It's everything. Right there is whatever, you know, the cut on my hand or...
Yeah, let me give you the perfect example of that.
All right.
Yesterday, after the service, mm-hmm. there was a little boy who fell and scratched his knee. And it had a little blood on it. And he came running to his mom and daddy. And it was a tiny scratch.
Yep.
I mean, it would be scabbed over and healed in a couple of days, okay? But in that moment, he was crying yep. because everything was focused on that. Now, the adults that were standing around him knew that this was a minor thing.
Right.
I mean, he wasn't gushing blood, okay?
Yep.
You know, that was the old saying back when I was a kid, how bad are you bleeding? You know?
Yeah.
You know, but we were looking at that and we saw a little boy that was learning to cope with a scraped knee.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Paul said, my outward man is perishing, but my perspective is so different because my inward man is growing stronger. And I realize this is really not that big a deal, whatever it is in this world, compared to the scope of eternity.
Right.
And so back to our deal, we are renewed as we learn that. That little boy is renewed as he grows and gets tougher and realizes this ain't a big deal. I used to think it was,
mm-hmm.
but it's not a big deal. Why? Because I've learned the perspective of life. There's a whole lot of things like a stomp foot that's going to hurt worse someday down yeah. the road.
Well, yeah, and honestly, I think of in those types of situations, I'm not hanging on a cross. I'm not being asked to account for all of the sins of all mankind for all time.
Mm-hmm.
Could be worse.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I didn't just lose a loved one.
Right.
You know, I mean, a scratched knee compared to watching somebody take their last breath that you mm-hmm. love, whew, that's not even on the same spectrum.
No.
And the point is this, our perspective.
Mm-hmm.
For us as believers, we have victory over our despair because our perspective is eternal. Even back to Cecil.
Right.
His perspective was this, I'm going to a better place, man.
Yeah.
I'm going, you know, from our worldly sense, I'm going to a full-time vacation in Hawaii, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to a place...
For eternity.
...that makes Hawaii look like nothing, you know, yeah. like a dirt bag, okay? My perspective is eternal because it's so much greater and more important and... Man, it's what's going to really be what it's all about.
And if we're so focused on this short stint here on earth, and we think that this is, not only if we think that this is as good as it gets, but if we think that 20 or 30 years ago was as good as it gets, things could be bad.
That's pretty depressing.
Yeah, it is. You know, that old Bruce Springsteen song, Glory Days, well, you know, that guy that still living his glory days of making the big play in the high school football team. 20 years later, if that's still what you're focused on, you got problems. And you're clearly not looking at a perspective of eternity.
Mm-hmm. Well, and let's bring this down to the practical everyday. Okay, we can sort of make fun of that person that is still living his glory days, okay? Mm-hmm. Or we can look him in the eye and say, bro, hey, listen. What is your hope in for tomorrow? And as mm-hmm. believers, as those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, let's deal with the facts. The facts are these, that I have the light of God, which gives me perspective. I have the light of the treasure of Jesus living in me, which gives me purpose. It gives me assurance. It gives me hope. And so that's how we overcome our despair. That's how we're renewed when we go through despair. And listen, we can sit here and pretend, or maybe folks think we got it all together and so we never despair. That's not the point. The point is, what do we do when despair comes knocking on our door? Because it is going to knock on our door. Bro, I'm telling mm-hmm. you, in the next few days, weeks, months, there will be something that happens to us that threatens us with despair.
Absolutely.
And so now, what do we do with it? Well, we have to renew our mind with the things of God and get our perspective right. And does that mean we don't cry? No. Does it mean we don't hurt? No. But it's how we get through it. That's how we get renewed when we have to go through it. So this isn't like, oh, look at me, I never will have despair. No. This yeah. is the plan for renewal when I do have despair.
Because we all will.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's the nature of life on this earth.
That's right.
You know, and you talked about a new way to walk, too, I thought was good. And I think, I feel like we've already been touching on this, that you find a new way to walk. You stop looking at things the same way. You throw off the old you. You embrace that new inner spirit that's growing, hopefully. The world has excuses. I wrote this down in my notes here, that the world has excuses. And we know better. We can be victorious. I think that was, I'm not sure I pulled it out here, but I think that was something you referenced in Ephesians. I wrote down Ephesians 4:17 over to the side of that.
Yes. Yes. And here's what we were talking about. Let me give you an analogy. Okay. If it's dark and I'm walking down a path that I've never been down before and I trip over something that I don't know is there, then you know what? That's part of the learning process.
Yep.
There's an excuse for me tripping over that. But if I'm walking down that same path, that I know exactly how many steps are on that path, I know where the pitfalls are on that path. Mm-hmm. I know that about somewhere in step 10 or 12, there is a hole on the right side of the trail that's a foot deep. Then when I get to about point number 8, I'm going to move over to the left side of the trail.
Right.
Just being careful and even feeling with my toes that it's there. Okay, the first analogy of that person walking down that trail is somebody that's not a believer, that has no experience with God, who has not been made new. But we can also add to this, but the second analogy, I have the light of Christ in me. That's a treasure, especially when I'm walking down a dark path. Oh, I might turn on my light so I can see clearly to avoid the pitfalls. in the world, before a man becomes a believer, he doesn't have the light of God in his life. And so he is very susceptible to fall into the traps of Satan. And listen to me, the world can deny it all it wants to. We have an adversary that hates us, who wants to destroy us. The Bible calls him the devil or Satan. And he loves to catch people that are blind and in the dark without a light.
Well, yeah, it's easier to guide them down the wrong path.
When a Christian is walking down that path, they have their flashlight in their pocket, but they're bound and determined, I'm going to do this by myself. Mm-hmm. I don't need any help. Then that is, you say, well, that's stupid. You're walking down a dangerous trail. Listen, this world is a dangerous place.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons.
Yes, it is.
And if we've got a flashlight in our pocket, but we forbid using it or refuse to use it, how foolish is that? And so that's back to what Paul was saying. We have a new way to walk. He said, this is the way you used to walk. Well, quit walking that way. You know the new way. You have a light in your pocket. Use it that you might be able to cope with the things of this world, especially the deception of this world.
Hmm. Well, and we do. We do. I mean, we literally have the light in our pocket. Mm-hmm. We all have. Well, I shouldn't say we all, but almost everybody who's going to be listening to this podcast is probably listening to it on an iPhone, which has a free app that you can get on it of a Bible.
Yeah.
But and that was something I liked too, that you said was that we can renew daily if we walk with the Lord daily, and take that moment to open that app or open that book and take that walk.
I said, the second thing I said about deception was we have the example of Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, let me give you an example of that in practical everyday life. Okay, we are doing what we do today and we are out, you know, in one of our activities, okay? And we run into somebody that's an absolute jerk.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, there's a lot of different ways we might deal with that jerk. We might just turn around and walk away or avoid them. Sometimes we can't avoid them. We can hit them in the mouth verbally or physically, which has all different kinds of implications of what might happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can follow the example that Jesus followed. In love and compassion, he would often look at those people and he would ask them a question and get them to stop and to think. And I found myself often when I'm in one of those situations thinking, okay, Lord Jesus, would you give me a question I could ask this guy? Would you give me a way that is not my way, it's your way? Because my way is to give a smart aleck retort, you know? And I did that the other day to a guy.
Yep. And it's not only easy, it's popular too.
Well, and it's convenient, and it's the way we do. But we have the example of Jesus. I mean, he's looking at a group of guys that in hypocrisy throw a woman at his feet and said, this woman's supposed to be stoned because she was caught in the act of adultery. And every time I read that story, I get mad again thinking, where's the guy?
Yeah, takes two to tango.
That's so right. But anyway, so what does Jesus do? He starts writing in the dirt. And they said, are you not going to answer us? What are we supposed to do here? You know what the law says.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus looks at them and he said, let him that is without sin cast the first stone.
Yep.
And the Bible says that one by one, beginning with the oldest, they dropped their stones and they turned and walked away. And after a while, Jesus looked up at the girl and he said, where are your accusers? And she said, there are none. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, Jesus answered the hypocrisies of those jerks. And in so doing, he showed love to this woman whose life was forever changed by his love. And so when we talk about in the face of deception, we have the example of Jesus. We can be lured into the trap of a fight, whether it's a verbal fight or a physical fight. Or we can throw water on the fire by letting the Spirit of God guide us into a loving approach, a loving question, a loving statement that completely diffuses the situation and maybe opens the door for somebody to trust Christ.
That can be a very difficult thing, I think, for most folks. And I say that knowing that it is for me and has been for me. And I also know that I've tried to turn that around and it never goes poorly. And when I stop and say the kind thing, whatever that is, the loving thing, that's fine. Whichever one of you is without sin, throw that first stone. Go right ahead.
Yeah.
And that is interesting that the older men went first, because you're usually the first one to realize, yeah, I've messed up a lot in my life.
Yeah.
Probably today.
Yeah.
And do I want to be on the receiving end of this rock that I hold in my hand? No, I don't.
Yeah.
And the younger man may not have the perspective for that. That's interesting.
Well, and Kyle, here is the joy for believers. We have two things that the world doesn't have to help us in that moment. One of them is the light and the truth of the Word of God. And the second one is the Holy Spirit of God to prompt us with that truth. Now, this is the point of the sermon. We have renewal in that moment if we have allowed the Lord to renew our mind and our heart with the presence of God, with the power of the Holy Spirit, and the truth of God's Word. So, in the face of deception, I can be renewed by what I put in my brain, okay? And allowing God to show me the truth of the situation. You know, when I have victory, and listen, I'm just like you. I am more prone to throw gas on the fire than I am to throw water on it, okay? But on the times that I haven't, it's because I look through the eyes of fire in the person I'm dealing with, and I see a life that's broken.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel compassion. Now, Jesus felt compassion for that woman, because she had been utterly shamed by a bunch of hypocrites. And I'm sure he was angered by the hypocrisy of those men.
Mm-hmm.
But he saw weak, broken men that were trapped by pride. And boy, he exposed that. Whew. He exposed their hypocrisy for all to see. And he did that by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. And so what? Guess what? You and I have access to the same two things, the same two entities, because the Holy Spirit is God. And by the way, the Word of God, His name is Jesus. So there's the physical Word and there's the literal Word of the one who's called the Word. And that's a beautiful thing. So that is our path to renewal. when there's deception lurking. The third thing we talked about was direction.
Yep, and you had another fine little list.
Yeah.
I love your bullet points. I love when that happens.
Yeah.
Now, you say direction. That's like our direction towards renewal.
Well, it's our direction toward renewal, but it's also our direction for decisions in life.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I need direction. I need direction for, oh, well, you know what? This is important. Deb and I have been having a conversation the last few days. We need to get away for some time of rest.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you want us to go, Lord? Because I know that I can make a bad choice, and if you make a bad choice with a vacation, it's not restful.
That's right. That's right.
You know, you can have more turmoil than you get rest, right?
Yep.
Okay, so we're looking for a spot, you know, and it's not like we've got unlimited resources here financially, so we want to make a wise choice. So we're praying for direction. All right, so how do you do that? How do you get in the place where you make a decision that's not based upon your wants? It's not based upon the things that maybe are selfish. How do you make that decision? Well, in Colossians 3, Paul starts using several words. And by the way, he refers to these same things in Ephesians 4. You could put this outline in Colossians 3 that we had in Ephesians 4 that we just talked about. Okay. Go back and read those passages. But anyway, he said, first of all, seek those things which are above. Get a heavenly perspective.
Mm-hmm.
What am I really seeking in life? And that is, I want to seek the things which are above, which translated into practicality is God's things.
Yeah.
I want that which really is going to change, it's going to last. And so, okay, I'm seeking God's perspective, God's direction. Second, I am setting. What does that mean? I'm setting my eyes upon the things that will help me, that will give me the right information. On the things that will give me truth and principle that last. And then the third step is putting. I'm seeking, I'm setting, and now I'm going to actually put those things into my mind and into my life. And as I do that, with every situation that comes my way, when I'm seeking direction, in general, when I'm seeking the ultimate direction of my life, I want to apply that. But I want to apply it to this vacation too.
Okay.
I want to apply that to leading this church. I want to apply that to leading my baseball team next spring. Where I'm seeking the ultimate of God's eternal perspective. I'm setting into motion the principles that will help me to accomplish that, and then I'm putting them into practice in my lives. Seeking, setting, and putting.
I don't know how fruitful this part of the conversation will be, so I apologize in advance, perhaps.
Well, if it's a question, it's a good one, okay?
Well, you know, my mind goes to the antithesis of this. Maybe that's not the right term. The inappropriate application of this direction, that we can be seeking earthly things. We can be seeking money. We can be seeking fame. We can be seeking hedonism of one form or another. We can be setting our eyes on all kinds of bad things that are available to us these days. And we can be putting ourselves, we can be putting on the cares of the world and not having that heavenly perspective of things. We can be putting on the lies, the bad ways, and putting away the good things that we're talking about here.
Okay, let me give you a real life example. of two scenarios, okay? Let's use coaching high school baseball. I just mentioned that, okay?
All right.
All right. What am I seeking? If I'm seeking to be in the Coaches Hall of Fame.
Yep.
All right. That's my goal. I am seeking to be known as the greatest baseball coach in the history of the state of Colorado.
Well, and even if you make it about the team more and you're seeking the state championship.
Well, yeah.
Is that even, I mean, you're still looking for glory there. But yes, okay, we'll go with the Coaches Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Is there a high school Coaches Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right. So I'm seeking that. So now I'm setting my eyes on how I can be successful.
Right.
All right. That's my focus, how I can be successful. And then what am I putting? I am fighting everything that I feel threatened by that could hurt my success. That self-focus will translate into my players. Mm-hmm. And now I don't have a team of players. I have a team of 15 individuals or 12 individuals that are all worried about their playing time. They're all worried about their stats. They're all worried about getting their college scholarship, and none of them may have the ability to even get a college scholarship. I mean, it's only like 1% that do.
Right.
Of all the high school players that play.
And I'm sure not a lot of them come out of Kiowa, Colorado.
No. I mean, that doesn't mean we can't have one.
Right.
It doesn't mean
but it's not typical. The numbers aren't here.
Okay. So that's the ugly scenario. You don't have a team.
Yep.
You're not going to be successful.
You've got a group of individuals at best.
You can have a team full of superstar athletes, but if they're all self-focused,
mm-hmm.
because their coach is self-focused, then you're going to have it's not going to be fun, that's for sure. And by the way, we do call it playing baseball, okay?
Right.
All right. But now let's flip that. But if I'm seeking an eternal perspective as I coach that team, mm-hmm. and what's that eternal perspective? Well, first of all, that every day when I go and I encounter my team, I'm honoring the Lord. But I'm also trying to be an example and find some way to touch the lives of these young men where I'm caring about what's going on in their lives. I'm caring about their families. I'm caring about their future. I'm caring about their grades and all those things. Oh, and by the way, I'm caring about them getting better as players. That's an eternal perspective because it's growth in good things, right? So what am I doing? I'm going to set myself on the principles of treating them right. I'm going to set my focus on the principle of teaching them basic discipline, which they can use not just in baseball, but in business,
right.
in marriage, and raising their kids someday. I am setting myself on focusing on the things that I know will make them better people. And then what am I doing? I'm putting that into practice where every day when things come my way, okay, the umpire makes a bad call. Going out there yelling and screaming is not going to change the call. And in fact, it'll probably get you another bad call, okay? Because
yep.
umpires are human beings.
That's right.
So I'm instead of putting on that man, I'm responding. I'm mm-hmm. defending my team when I need to. I am asking, I'm appealing in the proper way. And if it doesn't go my way, I don't go to the dugout and kick the trash can. I go to the dugout and say, next play.
Yep. You're setting the example, an appropriate example.
Right. And I am putting...
showing good sportsmanship.
Right. And I'm putting into practice discipline, character, the ultimate goal, which mm-hmm. is for my team to play its very best. Because, by the way, you do that, you're going to win most of your games. Because those other guys are probably not going to be doing that. And so there's a totally different outcome. Now, at the end of it, if I win 150 games in baseball someday, which I'm too old to do that, but if I do that, then they might put me in the Sports Hall of Fame. But you know what? That's not my goal. I don't care about that. I don't care about being called Coach of the Year. I don't care about that. I want my perspective to be God's perspective. And so I have, now, back to our theme now, renewal. In order to do that, I have to renew myself daily and remind myself of the principles. I'm seeking eternal things. Mm-hmm. I'm setting my mind, and I'm putting them on and living according to the new man, not the old man.
Well, and aren't you, you're doing the same thing for them. You're helping to renew them, to give them that fresh perspective, to help them grow internally and cast off their old bucket-kicking, umpire-yelling right. ways.
Well, that's the natural way of the flesh.
Because, and I'm sure you've had players show up, and that's how they are. And you got to say, that's not how we do it here.
And you just gave us the perfect segue to answer the original question about what is our role in renewal, mine for you and you for me.
Mm-hmm.
And our role, there's a word that we use Sunday, it's called edifying.
Right.
And when I edify somebody, that means I am encouraging them. And there's a lot of ways you can do that. You can do that with truth. You can do it with a hug, a handshake, a pat on the back. You can do it with appropriate correction that is given with love. But the way I can help you to be renewed is to be there for you and to help you, support you in your need for renewal. And, you know, when we look around us, Kyle, I need somebody to, I mean, I'm not going to die today if somebody didn't give me a pat on the back, but it sure does make our life better and our day better when we get a pat on the back.
Yeah.
And so
it puts a little pep in your step.
Absolutely.
It really does brighten your day. You stand, even if you don't physically stand a little taller, you feel just a little taller and you walk away from that situation thinking, well, that was nice.
Unfortunately, even as believers, maybe sometimes especially as believers, I used this analogy yesterday because when my wife does something special for me, I laughingly told her, and this was just something that hit my brain. My brain's a little weird sometimes. I said, sweetheart, that was fertilizer on my grass. Okay.
Yeah, that's a pretty deep Southernism right there.
Okay. And you think about it, when we encounter people in this world that maybe we don't even know, we can put fertilizer on their grass or we can put poison on their grass.
Well, I think we can put fertilizer on their grass or we can just be a pile of fertilizer.
and too much, and that will poison the grass.
That's right.
Yeah, true. So God calls us to renewal from His Word, but God also calls me and you to be a part of renewal for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I need your encouragement. You need my encouragement. And if I'm going around thinking, boy, is Kyle going to encourage me today? I'm probably going to be disappointed at some point.
Probably.
But if I'm going around saying, you know what, I'm going to encourage others, then you know what? It comes back, man.
Yeah.
It comes back.
Yeah, I can't control others. But I can control myself,
and it helps me.
And if I can make today, which means making every day, about encouraging others, lifting others up, improving their situation. Well, that's good enough. That's all I need right there.
Yeah.
I mean, I could go on with that, and I could make it more about me, but I think that would be improper.
If I can
make somebody's day a little brighter, then I'm doing good for the day.
I don't remember most of the stories, but every time, just almost every time that I've gone out of my way to help somebody or do something special, man, I tell you what, the reward for that, just what happened emotionally in my heart far outweighed the effort that I put into the physical action, whether it was verbal or actually doing something for somebody. And it's amazing. Well, let me tell you a quick story. And was when I was in college, one day myself and a bunch of my friends got my old Plymouth Fury.
right.
Fury 1. The reason it was a Fury 1 is because it was a stripped-down version of the cars because it's all my dad could afford. And I got it when it was worn out, okay? And I still drove it another 100,000 miles. And anyway, one day we got in the car. We had been at the college for a week, snowed in, ice on all the roads. This is in North Arkansas. And so we're driving down the road. All the roads are clear, we think.
Yep.
Okay, so I turned to go to this favorite spot, which overlooked the Arkansas River. We're going to go out there and hang out. And all of a sudden, it is a sheet of ice. Now, this is the days before front-wheel drive. Mm-hmm. And, man, I am doing the loop-de-loo on this. The sun had been out just a little bit, and there was a little skim of water on top of it.
Yep.
And there was no holding the brakes, man. I mean, it was flip, 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 and I ended up in the ditch. Thankfully, no damage to the car, but I can't get out of the ditch. I am stuck.
Yep.
So, 4 cell phones. I'm dating myself big time here.
That's right.
I didn't even have a CB radio at the time.
Ooh,
and so CB. we're in the ditch, man. And there's this old farmhouse about 100 yards back up the road. So they all pile out of the car. Nobody's hurt. It was great that way. And we walk down there in the snow and the ice, and we knock on the door. And the door belonged to Tom and Pearl Murphy.
There you go.
An old couple that were basically, well, they were in their last years and retired. They probably were 75 years old, still living together, still healthy enough. Pearl had to take care of Tom because he had emphysema real bad. But they invited us in. Come warm up by the fire. Had old potbelly stove. And I mean, it was really a neat out of the Waltons, okay? I mean, and they took care of us, fed us, had a telephone. I was able to call my buddies back at college who had a pickup and had a toaster app. And while we're waiting on that, they fed us supper. And
wow.
I mean, and, you know, years later after Deb and I got married, we continued to go see Tom and Pearl Murphy.
Hmm.
They became friends. And there was one of the girls that was just a good friend of mine. We never dated or anything. And she and I would go out and see Tom and Pearl, and just because they were a lonely older couple, didn't have any kids around. And what a reward. And you can see my face as I tell the story of Tom and Pearl, just how much that couple meant to us that day.
Yeah.
And what an experience, what a renewal for me. As that bad situation turned into something that was very, very precious. Why? Because they loved us, then we got to love them back, and we edified each other for years to come until they both passed away. And what a blessing. So this thing of renewal, we all need it. We need it every day. We need to receive it from the Lord and from His Word. And we need it from each other as I encourage you and you encourage me. And so God help us to edify one another, to renew each other, and to be a part of that process. And let's take responsibility for our own renewal, too.
There you go. That's I think there's probably a whole other podcast in that.
That's exactly right.
What do we have to look forward to this next week? Are we going to continue our series?
Well, you know, I thought it was going to be 1, then it was 2, then it's 4, and so Sunday we're going to do number 5 in our series on what a man needs, and the next R is rest.
All right.
A man needs rest.
I can get behind this.
Oh, that's a big word in Scripture.
All right.
And the verse that we're going to start out with, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
I can see where this might be a popular one. We'll see what happens. We'll see what comes of it.
All right, bro.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Have a good week.
Okay, bye.